What's the worst sound mistake that they make when they set you up in a live gig? Is it that you can't hear the vocals?
Sometimes the feedback is pretty intense.
Well, yeah. Oh, the worst thing they can do?
Well, what's the worst thing they tend to do? Like, I notice I go see a lot of bands, and a lot of times, like, I can't hear the singer at all. Right. All I hear is distorted guitar. Right.
I think that's probably one of the most discouraging things, is when you can't hear yourself singing at all. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're completely silent, like...
Yeah, and you're just pissing in the wind.
Yeah.
Like, hoping you're hitting the right notes.
Right. Yeah, it's probably where rapping comes in handy. Yeah.
Well, we played a gig recently. Klune played a gig recently, and I was singing, and... I swear to God, I thought that my mic was muted, like it was turned off. And after the song, after, you know, I sang the whole song, and then afterwards, I was like, hello? Oh, it's on. Okay, right. You know.
You ever been to the Cocaine?
No.
That is the loudest place I've ever played in my life. It's a fun place.
It's a cool place. It's kind of dead there. Yeah. Not many people go there, but it's a cool venue.
Yeah, but it's a popular venue. Like, a lot of bands, local bands go there.
Really loud.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear it through the streets of L.A.
It doesn't say Cocaine on the outside.
It just says...
It just says, like something crossed out and then land.
Land, what, right.
Yeah, just in case land. Anybody's looking for it. Like I was for, like...
You make one wrong turn down there, you're done.
Yeah, you're screwed.
I have navigation, and I still couldn't find it.
But it always works, man.
That navigation is a dream.
Is
have
it?
You gotten
it?
Have you tried
it? No, I haven't.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
the car literally drives itself.
Yeah,
like
much.
You don't need to drive anymore; it just does it.
You need to steer, right?
No. It drives, does everything for you.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Literally. Tangent.
So you guys are playing tonight?
Yes.
At the Couch.
Oh yeah.
Which is an indie event that they do monthly at Lava Lounge, and. I don't know. Tell me about that.
We're looking forward to it. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only been there once. I saw Klune play there, and it's a cool venue. Like, I really like the atmosphere there and everything. It's really nice. And I think there's no stage, right? So you're just playing on the floor.
Pretty much. I mean, there's like a corner. Really there's like a little. I think there's like a little
it's
lip,
a little high
right?
Rise.
Right.
It's like a little step.
Works. Like half a step.
I like that idea. Cool. I like the idea of being in people's faces. You know. It's kind of neat. You know?
Yeah, I was always interesting how many people they could squeeze into that corner, too. Like,
Well,
Klune is like a pretty large setup.
Yeah.
I remember it just like, you guys like took up like the whole area. Yeah.
Really fun, though. Yeah.
So if people want to go see that tonight, I'm also going to be DJing after midnight. That's 1533 North La Brea Avenue, and it's free if you RSVP to myspace.com/thecouchnight.
Yeah.
Can you hear that traffic outside? Like, I mean,
sometimes.
Does it actually pick up what picks up and hear them?
Yeah, I don't know if they heard. They probably didn't hear that horn just now, but usually, like, when a siren, you know, fire engine goes by, this is a very high accident area. People set things on fire a lot, I think.
Yeah,
and
fire.
I don't know. Just a lot of sirens, but I like it. It's like it's part of the show. It's part of the ambiance.
Yeah, that's
cool.
So I wouldn't want people to think we were like in some sort of professional studio. I like to think that they're like, in my living room.
I've never heard traffic be referred to as ambiance before.
But it is.
It is. You're right.
It is.
It's very soothing.
It is. Yeah, actually, like I used to live on the other side of the hill, closer to where you guys are from, and you don't hear quite as much traffic noise. But now I live in this neighborhood closer to downtown and Koreatown, Silver Lake, and all that. And so it's just like there's a constant sort of like whirring of traffic, and it's kind of like having a fan on while you're sleeping. You know, it just like it puts you to sleep.
Man, that's cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful. Our buddy's dad is or was working in Iraq. And he was saying, like, you just get used to the bombs always landing around you or about you, so, like, you never...
Soothing.
No, not soothing, but...
That's disturbing.
but you don't pay attention to it anymore.
Right.
You're so used to hearing these bombs land all day or gunfire.
So it's just, like, thunder and, like...
Yeah, yeah. So unless it, like, you visually see it land next to you, like, you're not really fazed by it anymore.
It's like you see the war on the news now, and you're just so used to seeing it that you don't really, it doesn't faze you anymore.
At least Americans.
The war's still going on?
Apparently. Yeah, they did a study, and apparently.
What war? Serious?
I keep hearing about this success, but apparently it's still a dangerous place.
Yeah, that's been going on for a few months, huh?
Yeah. Oh, man. Where can people get the Royal Bloodline?
Actually, we'll have it out in about a week. We're working on the finishing up the packaging and all that. So, Amoeba would be one place to get it, and also on our website would be another place.
Is it on a label or self distributed?
Like, yeah, we're just self distributing it. Yeah. So not many record stores will have this.
There's not one person that wants to take on a band from Monrovia.
No, they wouldn't dare.
Don't know why.
But is that something you're working on? Are you hoping that someone will see this album at Amoeba and go, oh, we could get him a bigger distribution for this?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, whatever helps, you know, whatever moves us forward, because we just don't have the money, you know? So it'd be nice to have
but
that.
If anybody offers a contract, we're going to deny it.
Because you're too cool.
Too cool.
We're too cool for that shit.
Well, where do you see Simontronic going? Is it you see yourselves on MTV or cover Rolling Stones or
scary.
Or are you a local act that people will always remember and love? Like, you know,
I'm hoping Eddie will be on the cover of Rolling Stones with his shirt off. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, that reminds me. Silvano from Brutus Gets the Girl just instant message. He has a question for Simontronic. Says, you guys have a great live show. And he wants to know if Eddie practices a lot of the dance moves he does on stage beforehand, or is it a gift?
It's a gift. Yeah, I was born dancing. So,
do the audiences at your shows, do they dance,
No.
Or is it more of a head bobbing kind of audience?
Sort of that, or you know, not even that.
Or is it just a wincing and pain kind of audience?
Yeah, like in and out. Yeah, people smoking. But it's really it's just kind of normal, I guess, you know. I mean, we're up there, we're really getting into it, but yeah, a lot of times you look out in the crowd, they're just kind of bland.
It depends.
I guess so. Yeah, it depends on the venue.
When you write kind of complex stuff, people don't usually get into it the first try. They kind of listen.
They're absorbing it, right, you know.
Kind of just sit there and stare.
Mm-hmm.
But
that actually leads into what I was just going to ask about. Like, do you think people respond to your music better seeing it performed live or listening to the CD in their car or, you know, in their headphones?
Yeah, I think, at least for me, from what I've heard, I think it's listening to it.
Yeah,
you know, because they can sit with it wherever they want and go into their you know, their whatever and sort it out. And then, yeah.
I think it's kind of hard to capture people live if they've never heard you. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not as accepting, you know, and it's kind of hard to win people over, no matter, I mean, who you are. I mean, especially playing in bars. You know, like, it's much easier to capture someone, you know, playing, like, Van Morrison covers in a bar than...
Right, people singing along. And
yeah, like, you know, people actually, respect that more. Like, if we were to go up and play, you know, a Doors cover, like, people would be like, whoa, you're awesome.
No, same goes for DJing, man. Like, I struggled, like, I started DJing so hard. I was like, no, I'm only going to play the obscure shit, the stuff that, like, I'm really into it, no one's ever heard of, and I'm going to educate the audience. And, you know, before I know it, I was playing 80s and, you know, old school hip-hop and stuff, you know, and enjoying it, you know, like, as long as it's always good, you know, as long as it's always something that you like. That's the sort of rule that I've kept. And I think that would apply to a band, too. It's like, sometimes you have to do things that people are going to recognize, like a cover or maybe something that sounds like a cover, but as long as you're sticking true to, you know, what Simontronic is, it shouldn't be a problem, right?
Yeah, we have a hard time writing hits, like, you know, those pop, catchy 2-second pop tunes. Struggling. Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. They're not.
They weren't recognized as hits.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
They were hit with me.
Well, are there tracks on the CD that you think of as singles? If it was like a mass distribution, you know, and they release a single with remixes and stuff like that.
I think so.
It's a couple on there.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
The Devil Sleeps is a good one, though.
Yeah, that rap song was pretty. I mean, at least
I
think.
Can we listen to another one now?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe pick one of these that you think would be like a good single
code.
If you guys were signed.
Let's get Neural Code.
Yeah, Neural Code.
Neural Code.
Yeah.
All right, let me look this up here.
Oh,
there we go.
Catchy.
Okay, so this is, name of this track is Neural Code, and you're listening to Simontronic on Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll be right back.
I fall asleep, tears of pain. Woke up in a strange state.
And we're back with Simon Tronic on isgoodkillradio.org.
Waka waka.
Eddie, tell me about how you went from being just a regular person to being a musician.
Oh, man. Let's see. It happened, like, I think it was about 5 years ago where I, like, you know, because prior to that I was doing, like, I was just really into film and stuff like that. And that's kind of how I started. That's what I've been doing my whole life. And then, yeah, about 5 years back, I just kind of picked up a keyboard and just kind of went from there.
You know, so this wasn't something, like, since you were a little kid that, well, I mean, were you always into music?
I've always, yeah, definitely have always been into it.
Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie. Kenny
Rogers. Very, very strong Lionel Richie influence in that last song, I thought.
Yeah, there was a little bit into it. But yeah, no, it's just something that just kind of happened sort of later. I didn't really expect it to, you know, I never thought I'd be singing or playing guitar. I just picked up a guitar a few years ago, you know, and just started, it just happened. Yeah, it just snowballed.
Did that come to you naturally, playing guitar, or was that, did you take lessons or something?
No, my brother actually showed me a few things because he was playing guitar prior.
I was
to
about
that.
6 months ahead of him.
Yeah.
So I showed him what I learned in 6 months.
You guys are brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't know that?
No.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Was this, I don't know, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Was this mentioned before in the interview? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, Eddie and Brock are brothers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Our brothers.
That's how we all, yeah.
Brothers in arms.
You think I would just show up and help out a band that I'm not in?
Yes, I do. That seems very much like you.
Yeah, I'd get him out of bed. But yeah, so it actually
we were doing sketch comedy, though.
We
all did sketch comedy.
Yeah. It was his baby.
Yeah, it's my little. Yeah. From there, I just went from that to music, you know.
So you started playing guitar and singing, but, you know, how come you didn't end up doing emo like everybody else?
What is emo? I don't have like a specific definition.
I looked it up once and I still don't understand it, but it has something to do with a post-punk movement with an emphasis on emotional lyrics. Hence the name emo.
Yeah.
So like a band like, and I don't know if I even agree with this, but like one of the examples that was given in, I think it was like Wikipedia or something, was like Weezer. Emo.
Huh.
You know,
wow.
Because they're sort of, they're post-punk, but they're, you know, crooning kind of emotional singing with it.
Yeah, I think they initiated this whole emo thing.
Hmm. Huh. I guess. I don't know. And then, there seems to be, like, now just, like, unbelievably huge amount of bands that seem to be adopting that kind of sound. And
Well, lucky for us, it wasn't our generation, you know? Like, you know, we skipped that.
Emo sucks.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Weezer's cool enough, but emo sucks.
Should I be offended if somebody says we're emo?
Oh, yeah.
Is that offensive?
I'm
offended.
Well, I mean, you know, you can look them in the eye, see if they're trying to tell you as an insult or a compliment. I mean, because, like, you know, who knows what emo really is? We don't really know.
It's an insult.
They're like, your stuff is emo. Like that? Is that, would that be?
It's little crybaby kids who wear pants that are too tight and have cool hair.
I mean, you could pop could have a negative connotation, like, oh, you guys are pop, but it could also just be a way of, you know, kind of categorizing. It's so hard to categorize music, especially something like here, like there's so many different influences from rock to rap to electronica. How did you end up moving with your guitar? What do you use to do your beats?
I have a couple drum machines at home and just some random Korg drum machines, whatever. I guess that's pretty much it. Just those two and beatbox. just basic drums like that. A lot of times I just, you know, I write a lot of acoustic songs and just kind of go with that, and, you know, maybe play it off a click track and add something later. But yeah, just a few drum machines. That's really all I use.
Do you like to use a lot of samples as well?
Not really. Joe kind of goes in and he's like the effects master. He goes in and
I tweak more than I say. I don't really sample anything. I take Eddie's voice and put a grip of effects and, you know, plugins on it and
destroys it.
I can't reveal my secrets.
Yeah, don't do that. Stop right there.
Well, Joe, what's that process like when you kind of listen, you know, you listen to what Eddie's done just with an acoustic guitar and his voice and you go, okay, this would be good if I, you know, delay the voice, if I had this effect and, you know, like, what is that process like? You just listen to it once and you know?
Usually. Well, no, basically, yeah. It usually comes, well, when I work with Eddie, everything comes really quick. I don't know why. Like, the last song we played, I wrote the lead, like, yesterday, so.
That's true.
So, you know, usually it goes really quick with Eddie. I don't know why, but everything that, the process of this was just extremely quick. I just came in and messed with things, and usually I knew what I wanted to do when I listened to things, and if I didn't, I wouldn't do anything to him. It's pretty basic. Yeah.
And Eddie writes like 5 songs a day too.
Really?
Eddie has writes faster than anybody I've ever seen. He writes like literally a song a day.
Yeah.
Which so he has like about 480 songs, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Just trying to catch
probably
up to
more,
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was it, I guess it was a real challenge to narrow it down to these 15 for the album?
Yeah, 15.
Well, wasn't it like 10 before?
No, it was actually. Yeah,
he was like writing songs as he was, or recording songs and writing them like
these
as
I was. Yeah, songs, actually, none of them are right.
Okay. These are all brand new songs.
They're all brand new. Yeah. So like all the, I guess we don't really narrow them down. It's just they come up when they come up. I guess.
Uh-huh.
So you just grab them when they come.
Right.
And then you know got the old batch of 785.
Mm.
And just take your pick of those. And have them sound the same.
Is the Royal Bloodline the debut album for Simontronic?
It's actually our second. This hip hop one, the one I was speaking of earlier, is would be our first. That's still sitting at home, you know, just.
So can people get that or?
No, neither one of these. We want
it's a big secret.
I guess it came down to picking which one we want to put out first, so we went with this one, getting this one out, you know, and we'll push the other one afterwards. I think once we get some cash going.
Now you guys are playing tonight at Lava Lounge as part of the Couch Night.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun stuff. Do you guys play out a lot?
We haven't kind of recently.
Yeah,
but we don't have anything booked after tonight. So
this
is your last chance.
Yeah,
it's like the last time Barbra Streisand plays.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that Barbra Streisand thing where fans of hers are suing her because she's I think it's Barbra Streisand on one of those. You know,
maybe Celine.
Maybe Celine Dion, one of those. But they're suing her because she retired and she's coming back. She's coming back like she retired and said she was doing her farewell show. And so these people bought really expensive tickets.
But ended up not really being a farewell show.
And then she's coming back and they're pissed and suing her.
Oh, man.
Because they wanted to see her last performance and it's not going to be anymore.
That is so emo.
Yeah, that is really emo.
Can I squeeze another live track?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I did it again. I call it a track.
Well, that's fine. It will be one day.
This will be a track right here.
So this is another live song performance by Simontronic right here in the Kill Radio studio on Is Good on killradio.org.
Fog had an unhappy
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Joe, tell me about the process of adding effects to that song. It's kind of an effects-heavy song.
I came up with what I just did two nights ago.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. No, I love effects.
And pudding.
I wish you could see the cereal.
I like and flowers.
No, I really like them. I'm sincere.
Well, for example, like, how do you have a different approach to effects with Simontronic than you do with your other band, Klum?
I have a slightly different setup. Usually,
Let me plug this in real quick.
Cool. That's Silvano, man.
Yeah, I think it is.
Is that Sil?
Back to sleep, buddy.
Let's take a look. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi. This is Silvano.
Silvano.
What's up, Silvano?
What's up?
Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for the band?
Yes, I do. Simontronic's a good band, one of my favorite bands of all time. And I just wanted to ask if Brock and Eddie, if they get inspiration off each other, like from each other's music, from each other's bands.
That's actually a good question.
They weren't expecting a good question. Do you have a stupid question?
Why didn't you call my cell phone? You could have called me at home and asked me that, Sil.
I could have called at home.
That's actually not even
pretty much the only question.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let you go. We'll see what they have to say.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling in.
You want to go first?
Okay, guys. What's the verdict?
I can go first. let's see. Well, for myself,
Well, let's be clear. Just like what he's talking about. So we have two bands here. We have Klum with Brock and Joe, and we have Simontronic with Brock and Joe and Eddie.
Yeah.
And the question is, do these two bands influence each other in their music process?
Is it the bands or is it Eddie and I? Because we live together, we have to hear each other write music.
Yeah. Well, is it proximity or?
Yeah, I think that's it. You guys live with each other.
Right. Yeah. No, because I don't think our music really has much influence on each other. I don't think so. I think we're both interested in like the same types of music. So if things ever come out similar, I think it's because of that.
Mm-hmm. Either or I'm in both bands.
right. Yeah, and then Joe, of course, is like the tie between it all. Right. For myself, like when Eddie's recording his album, it was kind of hard for me to write music. Like I didn't write, like Klum-wise, I didn't write anything really. Because I have to like clear all those melodies out of my head. I don't want to have any of his melodies going through my head, and
right.
and it's really repetitive because you hear him mixing every day and recording, and so it's more of a thing I kind of avoid just to make sure we don't write anything similar to each other, And I don't know what he has to say.
Well, like you said, I think the styles are slightly different. There's some similarities, like I guess, but not as much with the music. I think maybe with maybe vocally or whatever. But it's different enough to where it doesn't really bother me and doesn't really bother him.
Do you ever secretly hate a Klum song? Or do you ever secretly hate a Simontronic song, and do you both try to keep it from Joe?
Well, it's never a secret. I'll just tell him.
Yeah, we usually tell each other if we don't like something.
Yeah, it's like songs we're not fond of, yeah.
Well, how is the self-criticism here? I mean, is it very constructive? Is like, I really think you need to work on that song some more? Or
straightforward.
We're pretty straight out, with each other. We've known each other so long that I know I have no problem telling these guys if I don't like something.
Yeah,
which is, I know a friend of mine tripped out on, I know, Klum's process of writing, because we just say, hey, I don't like that, change it. We're just really straight up, and they're like, wow, you guys don't beat around the bush, I think that's with me and Eddie too. It's just very, I don't like that, I'd like this. It's pretty to the point, just to get things.
What is an example? Like, what are some of the things that is it just that, like, okay, this just doesn't sound like Simontronic to me, or like we shouldn't be going in this direction? Like, what are kind of the things where you need to rein it in a little bit?
I think, like, most of the songs start with Eddie, so either way, it comes out Simontronic. Like, And Joe has almost an alter ego, I think, when he's playing with Simontronic. Like, he kind of plays differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different touch. Yeah. And different, like, his live person. Performance is different.
I wear different t-shirts, too.
Right.
Comes with hair different.
But has anyone ever just, like, you know, busted out the thrash guitar and you're like, no, this isn't really what we're doing with this act?
Because
there's, like, I haven't heard in any of the Simontronic music any, like, heavy rock influence, but there's there is a heavy rock influence in Klum.
Play track. No.
Yeah.
I think because it's, like, a mutual understanding. Like, we know each other so well. We know kind of what we're doing. I mean, like, when it comes to writing music, we know what we're going to give each other. Sort of. So, like, if he does bring in some thrash guitar, then normally I trust it and just go, all right, well, that's going to be cool. You know, and it ends up working out. It just, you know.
And the reason I'm not in the band is because I've sat down to record on this record that we're playing now, and Eddie would just go in and, like, delete everything I did. Like, I'd go in there for, like, 3 hours of, like, recording these, like, extravagant organ parts and just the next day deleted without even talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah. Well, he contributed to 4 of the tracks, but... Yeah, a few things he would add. I just, you know, if I didn't think it fit, then I would just delete it.
Yeah, he's pretty straight up. He doesn't even tell you. He just deletes it.
Yeah, Joe tells me to mute it, but I don't.
Yeah, mind. I told him don't ever delete. Just press the mute button. Just press Apple M. It'll all be fine.
Well, because I know if I mute it, they'll end up finding it, and they'll just like, you know,
it, it must never be found.
Ultimately, use it.
Yeah. Well, we're just about out of time, so I want to end on a track of your choice. From the Royal Bloodline. And how'd you come up with the title for that album?
Okay, yeah.
Eddie, question.
Why Royal Bloodline?
Well, at the time I was, like, you know, really reading into just, like, I was really into, like, Queen Elizabeth I. I was, like, obsessed with her for a while.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's hot stuff.
She is hot.
And, so, you know, just, like, reading up on her and just kind of, you know, I think a lot of it came from that, just... So it doesn't have much to do with the Da Vinci Code. It has nothing to do with that. Well, you know, I've been getting that a lot, but it has nothing to do with that at all.
I haven't seen that yet, so don't blow it for me.
Yeah.
It's very bloody. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
Al Gore's in it, too.
He narrates, that's true. But yeah, that's where it came from. Just
okay, so what are we going to listen to now, then?
Something with distortion guitar?
No, we're going to try it. We try that.
Either way. Just.
Yeah, let's do, we'll do Control Me. Yeah, okay. We'll try that.
Okay, well, I'm just going to leave it on this song, so I'll say goodbye now. Thanks for coming in, guys. You. Really appreciate it.
Live performance was awesome,
and we'll all be together again
tonight
at The Couch. Again, RSVP to myspace.com/thecouchnight so you can get in free, and that's 1533 North La Brea at Lava Lounge, and that's tonight, and I think it starts at 9 o'clock. And other bands included, besides Simontronic, are Como Osos and Eric Wilson. So it should be a fun evening. So hopefully I'll see you there. This is Simontronic. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Just so much fun.